In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The difficulties of this fasting season are in many ways much greater than the great Lenten season. Most of us have returned from the celebration of family, sitting down together, breaking bread together. And as I did before I left for our own Thanksgiving celebrations, as I do every year, I cautioned all of us as to the special spiritual demand of those gatherings. And as I commented to someone here just the other day, it may be that this particular celebration coming in the middle of the fast in preparation for the birth of Christ is some kind of special spiritual effort upon Americans to deal with one another in the midst of this various, and as I said before I left, cosmopolitan society that we live in, where every way of life is accepted and the effort to fit in is huge. And for an Orthodox Christian, there is the desire to meet everyone halfway, to exercise what is technically called in our tradition economia. And that means not to deal with others in a legalistic kind of way, saying this is the way it ought to be done. Everyone has to meet this standard. But instead, we try to deal with the reality of the lives of individual human beings, not in order to accommodate our way of life as Christians to them, but just the opposite, in order to reach out to them and bring them from where they are into the body of Christ. We're still, as I remarked again before I left, figuring out what the best way is to witness to the fullness of the Christian faith in this country that believes that it already understands the nature of that Christian faith and offers to everyone who comes here the right to redefine the Christian faith according to their own understanding, according to their own accommodation. And why should any group set themselves up as having inherited the fullness of the Christian faith? It's a great difficulty for us because of the fact that we have inherited the fullness of the Christian faith. But how do we witness to that faith in a country where the attempt is almost certain to be misunderstood? And so we use economia, or we try to learn how to use economia to bring others from where they are into where we are. One example is the fact that for a long, long time now, in the Orthodox mission, we can still call ourselves, in America, when it comes to bringing someone into the fullness of the life of the church, rather than baptizing everyone, we have said this: if you have been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, then we will not baptize you. We will receive you by chrismation, by signing with the holy chrism. It means gift, the holy gift of the Holy Spirit. At every place of the senses of the human body, the mind, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, the chest, the place of the heart, the hands of the strength of our lives, and our feet with which we walk into goodness or error as Christians. But there may be a difficulty for us in that. It may have made obscure or covered over the fact that baptism and confession represent a break with the world around us? Is it possible that we have accommodated too much to the world, and that we have begun to develop a specifically American Orthodox piety of laxness in our spiritual lives, where when we come to confession, we don't recognize that we are returning to that point at which we died to the world, cut ourselves off from the world, and began to share the divine life of Jesus the Christ, the incarnate Son of God. Because that's what baptism is. And it takes place within a Christian family, whether we're talking about an infant or whether we're talking about an adult. And confession is a return to that baptism. So those of us who were baptized outside of the Orthodox faith and received by chrismation, when we come to the sacrament of confession, we are returning to that point of baptism where if we had been baptized as adults, we would know that we were leaving the world where my story, the story of myself and who I am, is the center of my life in the world. That life is over. To become a Christian means that we are no longer the star in our own lives. We are no longer pretending that we can take the place of God on our own and be what only Christ is, the only one who lives in our humanity with a fullness of oneness with God, the only one who offers that life to the rest of us. We cannot imitate him by each one of us trying to live as though we were the Son of God with all power, so that my story and my life is the reality of things. That's an illusion. That's a delusion. When we are baptized into the life of Jesus the Christ, and we share the death on the cross that is our separation from the life that we had before, that self-oriented life is over, ended. Is that clear to Orthodox in America? When we come to confession, is it clear in our hearts and our minds that this is death to the life of a person separate from God? We can only have our lives at one with God. To be at one with God is to be able to live the life that God gave us to live. And when we are given the blessing, "Go thou and sin no more," and we go back into the world, if we pick up where we left off and we say, "Well, I'm trying," then we've missed it. There's no trying. We have to realize that we live the life in Christ by repentance, not by trying. We will fail. And if we think that the Christian life is about trying to be better, then we've missed it. So we have to consider whether or not our message in America as Orthodox is clear enough. Or have we, by economia, accommodated the faith to the individualism that all of us seem to believe in, first of all, as Americans? And everything must accommodate itself to that fundamental truth. I am the ultimate authority after all. It is my life that is central after all. And if something is said to me that makes no sense to me on the basis of that truth, then there must be some problem. I'm confused because it doesn't fit in to the absolute truth that I know I am the center of my own life. That is simply false. We cannot be Christians if that is what we believe in our hearts. All mankind has been saved. Individualism is so rampant in our country that we are used to people asking us the question, are you saved? Are you saved? It's about you. It's about you as an individual and your individual choice as an independent person. What you believe is so. What you accept, that's the way it is. This has nothing to do with Christianity. All mankind, the whole world, the universe itself has been saved. And maybe we should answer when we're asked, have you been saved? Maybe we should answer by saying, we have all been saved. But I am not living the life of salvation constantly. I find that I must return again and again into the holiness and the perfection that is Christ. And I find that it takes all of my effort in order to actually live that life of salvation that has been made available to us all. That's why it's not a single one-time choice. That's why returning to our baptism again and again by the sacrament of repentance and confession is essential. Throughout the day, again and again, we either return to God, challenged by the difficulty of all of our spiritual conflicts during the day, or we simply drift off. And no calling of ourselves as Christians, because we are baptized and chrismated and communing members of some kind of club, is going to make any difference if we are not living the reality of that faith. Now, we live the reality of that faith not by our own accomplishment, but by repentance and returning to God again and again, constantly. Placing our faith in Him, even when we are distant from Him, and sometimes we are. But we know in our hearts that He is the one. He is the place where our salvation lives. And only by repentance and return to Him can we live that life. Perhaps we need to understand more clearly the difference between a life lived in this way that God has made possible and a life that is not lived in that kind of way. We are either living that life actively, making the spiritual effort to fast from being full and content on the things of the world, or we aren't. And we might do it most strenuously during the great Lenten period, and with the greatest number of challenges during this fasting period as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Christ, because there are so many challenges during this time of year. Food is everywhere. It's given to us constantly, and very seldom do they offer us a nice bowl of beans. The encouragement to fasting, it's just not there. We have to make it for ourselves. And we have to remember that the blessing that we have received to celebrate this American Feast of Thanksgiving in the truly American way, by meat, is not intended to be an occasion of accommodating our faith to that feast. The efforts of a spiritual nature that we make on that day must be followed by a return to the fast that we all make together. The fast that hopefully we were able to continue even through the physical feast of Thanksgiving. As we experience the conflict between the resurrected life in Christ that we are living or not, and therefore need to return to, the conflict between that life and the situation with all of those challenges that are rapidly and forcefully brought to our attention. It's as though Thanksgiving is 6 months of relationships with other human beings all compacted into just a few hours. That's how it's always for me. The level of spiritual challenge is absolute. And if we can make it through that and then come back and always after Thanksgiving, we all go to confession. Because probably we've relied on ourselves in our interactions with our relatives and our friends. Probably we have not made out so well. Probably we have separated ourselves from that new and resurrected life in Christ that we are called to live. That is the life that we are called to witness to in the world. You know, St. Paul says in one of the two readings that we had today that we are children of the light. We are children of the light. And we ought to have no fellowship with darkness. Now, I have heard these passages misread, believe it or not, in such a way that people have used them to justify a judgment against others. Expose darkness. Expose others when they do things that are not right. Is that what St. Paul is talking about? How can that be the same Christian faith where we are told, judge not lest ye be judged? When you judge others, God judges you. Expose others? No, what St. Paul is talking about is bring the light into yourself and expose the works of darkness that are fruitless, at least in terms of good fruit. Expose those works of darkness within yourself so that you can get rid of them, so that they can die, so that they can be the things that die instead of having us die. When we come to the sacrament of confession, that's when we expose those dark works that we have seen within ourselves. We expose them to the light, the purity of God, of His perfect life, which is our life, and we repudiate them. We turn away from them. We turn against them. It's either that way of light or the path of darkness. An accommodation, letting ourselves off the hook, feeling like, well, I'm trying. To be orthodox means that, and this is wrong, okay? I'm characterizing it. This is wrong. What I'm about to say is wrong. Because sometimes when I say things that, the wrong way, people think, oh, that sounds good, you know. Well, but it's wrong, okay? So I'm telling you ahead of time, this is wrong. To be orthodox doesn't mean that we are saved just like that. It means that we are being saved. And what does that mean? That means we are trying. You know, God is God after all, and we are ourselves, and I'm trying, and I think I might even be making some progress. And I go to the sacrament of confession, and I confess those ways where I have not made progress, and I go out, and then I try harder. That's wrong. That's not orthodoxy. Every single time we come to the sacrament of confession, we are cutting ourselves off from the works of darkness that we are confessing, because those works are foreign to us as children of the light. There is only one life, and it is the life of Christ. That life that has been shared with all mankind if we turn away from the darkness of the world and enter into that light. And it takes our death to do that. We die to the world. That's what baptism is. That's what the sacrament of confession is. And that's the kind of witness that we need to make to the world. So maybe when people ask us if we are saved, we have to let them know that to be saved means to join all of those others who are saved in Christ, that He is the only salvation. And make especially this point. It is possible for human beings to cooperate. Synergy is the official word. It is possible for human beings to cooperate with God and be perfect. Perfect with God's own perfection. And salvation is to live that perfect life. because, you see, the non-orthodox way of understanding allows you to remain living a life where you are unable to share the divine life of God. That's the difference between true Christianity and a Christianity that has come to accommodate virtually anything and everything that we really feel like doing. It is important for us to make that witness, first of all, to ourselves, and then to the world. That's what it means to be the presence of the church in America in the 21st century. Not to accommodate ourselves to where we are, but to bring others into this new life in Christ that we know is possible to live through and in Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.